Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. Tonight's show is Savior's Day 2019 keynote address, What Islam Has Done for You, Separation and Community Building. And we want to hear, coming right off the heels of Savior's Day 2019, we want to hear what you have to say about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's address that took place this past Sunday. So please cue up your finger, get ready, go ahead and press that one on your dial to get in the queue, because I'm sure we're going to have a lot of people that want to give their feedback and feelings on this past show. So Savior's Day 2019, happy Savior's Day, brothers and sisters, and thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule to listen to our humble show, Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. So I'm going to bring on right now, we have Brother Dr. Ridgely. He pressed the one, and here he is. As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Wa alaykum as-salam. How are you doing, brother?
I am well, by the grace of Allah. And yourself?
Oh, just fine. Well,
happy Savior's Day.
I have a lot. Happy Savior's Day to you, too. I have a lot that I would like to talk about, but I'm going to wait to see the other people who want to express themselves, because some of you may know, once I get going, I don't like to give the mic up. Plus I'm interested to hear, you know, what other people have to say. So is anybody else in the queue?
The Ann is in the queue. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Ann.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
So why don't you go first, Sister Ann?
Okay, well, assalamu alaikum to Brother Carlton, Dr. Risley, and all who may be listening. Well, you know, we've got to step up our pace in building this nation. It disturbs me when I see posts on Facebook about, you know, the nation is not going to, you know, do it, not going to really come into its own until the minister leaves us. I mean, that is so sorry to me that we would sit back and hold our hands based on that promise. You know, what are we going to do in the meantime? To me, if you're a bystander now, you're going to continue to be a bystander because you cannot tell me there is not a lot of work to be done already. The minister has given us many charges, and the last is not the last, but one of the last was to make our communities safe and decent places to live. And you know in your mind that where you are currently living, unless it is already a Muslim community, that that is nearly impossible with the attitudes and the moral disposition of our people today. And they're not willing to listen. So, you know, the winds have got to blow. But what we have to do is make sure their blood is not on our hands. And that's what we should be doing now, everywhere we are, to let the minister feel a sense of, I guess, calm and a sense of knowing that, you know, when he leaves, our nation is in good hands. But if we're just a bunch of bystanders waiting for him to leave and then banking on the promise that things are going to really mount to great, great depths of success, then, you know, we're just copping out. And it makes it harder for that to become a reality if we are developing into just fence sitters, as I would say. So the minister this past weekend, I thoroughly enjoyed this Savior's Day.
Yes, ma'am.
Number one, my husband and I did not have to drive from Broadwood, Georgia to Chicago, which normally takes us about 2 days because we can't drive straight through. We always stop over at the halfway point and then make our way on in. Well, a little bit more than halfway we try to do, and then make our way in. And then our mornings normally start with getting up early to be at the vending before everybody else gets there. So that's been our task. His for 23 years, mine for 20. So we got a chance to kind of relax this year because we did not vend. And it was just wonderful. I was not so bone tired every morning. I got up and made MGT class and the graduation and felt pretty good. Attended some workshops. And overall, it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. And the minister's lecture on Sunday, oh, my goodness. I am learning to use my phone, so I took a panoramic view of the crowd, and I just so happened I saw some people today at a meeting. I just got in this morning, just got in this morning, and there was a co-op meeting of farmers planned on this day before I left. So I got myself together after running some other errands, and I went to the co-op meeting. And there were people there who had seen my photos or seen our photos that we were posting on Facebook from Savior's Day. And, you know, they were really pleased. One person made the statement that that's what I like about Muslims in the Nation of Islam. And, you know, the conversation got away from me, but I wanted to say, well, that could be you too.
Right.
All you have to do is come join us. That could be you, all of our people. And that's what the minister is asking us to do. So I sat there listening, and I made up my mind I was going to come back home with a renewed spirit and muster up more energy to be more of a helper at home in welcoming the people who may be ready to accept Islam. And in order to do that, we have to get rid of all the nonsense. Time out for that. This is nation building time. This is not a platform for us to keep talking about our dead life. The number one thing we should be talking about is how we defend Minister Farrakhan, defending his honor, defending his spirituality, defending his, how can I say it, his reign as the Jesus in our midst.
Oh, come on, that's right.
And in addition to that, the number two thing we should be talking about is separating into territories of our own. Get rid of the fear. As Minister Ava said, you know, we're dealing with, 40 million or more people today of our own. And if only, 10 million want to go, she said, we're going to take those 10 million and go. Later for the rest
That's
of them. Let them go down in the fire. But we have to make sure we have done our part in letting them know what it is they may be missing out on. And it starts individually by living the life of a believer.
Yes, ma'am.
It's time out. It's time out. Time out. Time out. For us to be sitting out in public, eating what we know we should not be eating in public with everybody watching us. They know our dietary guidelines. It's time for sisters to stop sneaking out on a quick run without being covered properly. It's time out for that. And we just have to start checking that with each other, in a loving way. Sister, you know, when you step out, you're representing the whole of the MGT. Or brother, when you're stepping out, you're representing every FOI and the minister in the nation. So it's time for us to do that today because our people are really watching us. They admire us. And when I have someone tell me, that's what I like about Muslims, they expect that from us. And we disappoint them when we show less than that. Dr. Ridgely's got accounts of people, I think he mentions it often when he talks about the farm, about the our former mayor, who was mayor when we got the farm for a number of years. And he states that when he met with the mayor after the minister got the farm back, that the mayor told him, please don't you all lose that farm again. Because that was
a big
hurt for the people in this area. And, it's taken us some time to really gain their faith again in us and to see us as a force in this community. And now we need to grow and build upon that. It's time out for just myself and Dr. Ridgely to be down here on your farm. It's time out for that. I heard conversations with people as I was moving about this past weekend, especially after the some of the defending Farrakhan workshops and the separation workshop. You know, I just need to know what the plan is. Or, and then another conversation, well, you know, I'm just going to have to get ready, because if we're going to separate, that's what we got to do. So people are ready. Now, for those who say, you know, they just need to know what the plan is, the plan has been given to us. Go back and read the back page of the final call, what the Muslims want and what we believe. And you'll see that wanting land of our own is nothing new. It is not a new concept.
That's
but what has happened, Minister Farrakhan's been the only one talking about it. We have not been talking about it in our general conversations. We've just gotten comfortable and lackadaisical. And as I hear a lot of folks saying, get in where you fit in with this system. In all of its corruption and immorality, where do you fit as a believer? Where do you fit among all of this debauchery, immorality? There's no fit in there for us if we are sincere. So, you know, this is not a new dialogue. This is not new teaching. We just have not been concentrating and focusing on it. And I remember, and stop me, Brother Carlton, when someone comes on, because I'm just filling the time.
And let me just say, while you're on there, let me just say that, brothers and sisters, you have the opportunity now, or show us early, to get in the queue early. So go ahead and press that one, because we really want to hear from you. Dr. Ridgely and Sister Ann want to hear what you have to say. And if you, especially if you went to Savior's Day, we really want to hear your experience there. So press that one and get in the queue. And someone has pressed one already. Let's see.
All right.
Caller with the last four digits, 3475. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Carlton and the Blog Talk Radio family. Brother Carlton, may I just be excused for one moment and then come back in?
I'll go ahead and mute your phone. I'll leave your mic open, Sister Sharon.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. And I'll continue on the line of that I was doing. I remember back when I first came in some 32 years ago now, that in reading the final call, the back page of the final call, and what the Muslims want and what the Muslims believe, but especially what they want. And when it got down to the point where the messenger talks about we want land of our own, either on this continent or elsewhere, I really thought seriously about that at that time, and I had to go over in my mind what that would mean to me and my family. I said, well, you know, if it's going to be elsewhere, it may not even be in the United States. So if it's not in the U.S., how will I deal about that? How will I deal with that? I thought about other cultures. I thought about Africa in particular and what I knew of Africa at that time. And I went over in my mind, you know, could I really live there? And I thought about the beautiful oceans and the climate and the people. I said, yeah, I think I could if that's where we have to settle. And then I went over in my mind, I said, well, my family, if they don't want to come, at least they'll have somewhere to visit. And this is how I I talked to myself about that. And I reconciled in my mind that if the time came, I want to be ready to just pick up and go. And I'm so fortunate that I ended up on this farm as the wife of Dr. Ridgely, that, you know, it's as if we have separated already.
That's right.
Because
That's right.
we are here, and this environment is total peace. And I love it, even though it's a far cry from what people expect when they come. You know, they hear the minister sometimes talk about his farm up in Michigan. I remember right after he started talking about his farm, just a few years ago, he would talk about being out, you know, watching the ducks and just being out in nature, just painting a beautiful picture. And everybody thought he was talking about this farm. You know, we could do the same thing at this farm with enough support, but that's
right.
not what this farm was for. I am so pleased that the minister have that, something that gives him that kind of pleasure, because you
right.
think about the sacrifice he makes for us. The man
right.
works almost around the clock.
That's right.
I was thinking about him earlier today, you know. He just works all the time.
That's
so
right.
He deserves whatever makes him happy. Someone put up a post about, you know, they had a picture of the minister and he was smiling and happy. And they commented that they love to see the minister smile. I, too, it makes my heart happy.
That's right.
The minister is smiling, because I try to understand what it is that's on his shoulders. It's the weight of the world. This
that's
man
right.
is charged with saving the world.
That's right.
And sometimes we think our little bitty problems should get front and center. But
Come
it's
on.
Just nothing compared to what he has to deal with. And I'm going to stop on this point. I remember when I was doing employment skills training, when I was working on a job, I did employment skills training to chronically unemployed people who were receiving, at that time they called it food stamps. So these were people who for years had not been able to get jobs. So the state came up with, through USDA, came up with this, it was called the PEACH program. And it was positive employment and community health. And underneath that, you had a segment called employment skills training, where it was my responsibility to train the people underneath me to be trainers of the classes. And they had all these materials that they would send down for us. These are the materials that you should use. You know, I always hated role play. I don't know what it is about role playing, but I always hated it. You know, I want to be me. I don't want to be playing to be somebody else. You know, can I do this being myself? So I never really liked role playing. So they had these old dry videos of these, you know, white people role playing that they were going on a job interview and what you should say and how you should dress and what your resume would look like. And I would peep in on the classes sometimes. And the people, and of course the classes were 90% black, and the people would be in there with their heads all laid on the desk and you know, they're bored to death. So I got word that, hey, there's some training money. There's some money for materials for training. I'd heard about Les Brown. Some of you may know Les Brown, motivational speaker. So So I'm saying these are black people who have not had an opportunity in their life to really focus on themselves, because their main focus has been on just surviving. So I took the initiative to buy the whole series of Les Brown motivational DVDs. And I remember so vividly the first class. I took that class myself, took over that class to show my trainers how to do it. Talked a little bit, then we started the video. When he started talking, the heads started raising up off the desk, rapt attention. They even applauded. They had questions. They saw somebody who looked like them talking to them. So today what we have to do is, you know, that's been a few years, and the condition of our people is so grave right now, especially with the drugs and this culture or climate of anything goes today, that it's really hard to get our people's attention. But the minister can get it.
That's
so
right.
What we have to do is emulate him in our life with the same care and love for the people that he has for them and for us, and see if that's going to make a difference. But I started out saying that I made up my mind that I was going to come back home with a renewed spirit to be more of a helper, especially in trying to show our people who are willing to come in and join us in this work what it means to really be a helper to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, by trying to be that example and, you know, taking them under our wings and just guiding them and just showing them the way and not being selfish. And that's our charge today as helpers. We are his helpers, and we have to be found doing that. So thank you so much. I think I have talked enough.
Thank you, Sister Ann. No, we are enjoying that report, Sister Ann. It's a lot of depth of thought that's going in there, and it causes us to reflect. And let's see. Oh, yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's one thing I want to say. And Brother Carlton, you saw the video, right?
All 4 hours of it, yes, sir.
All 4 hours. 4 hours, 4 hours and 5 minutes. But, you know, the part that, you know, well, so many things struck me. But, you know, the minister said when, you know, some of us are saying in terms of separation, that first we have to separate in our mind, right? Well,
I've heard that a lot.
When he wrote the letter to Master Farad Muhammad asking for his name, that acceptance letter, that was a divorce. From this world.
All praise be to Allah. We need to say that loud.
Okay. When you signed that letter of acceptance and you asked Master Farad Muhammad for your name, you have declared a divorce from this world. So the separation in the mind should have happened right at that time.
All
now
right.
It's time to get down and make it happen for real on the ground.
That's right.
The minister eliminated that excuse that people want to hold up. You know, we have first got to separate in our minds. We see, that's okay. If you joined the nation, you already did that.
Should have.
You should have. You already did that. So now, let's make it happen. Our people. I mean, what do we want from our people? Do we want our people to believe in us before we believe in us? I mean, do you? You said, "Well, we got to get our people to do this. We got to get our." Well, you accept it, then you lead them, not push them, but lead them by example. When they see a community, one viable Nation of Islam type community, then they will. Everybody would say, okay, there it is. I'm ready now. They got to see that we're ready. And I would say that one thing that I have learned from this tremendous struggle that we had with the weather and the roads and getting out the staple goods to 62 cities, that we have shown that we are ready for separation. We can meet and overcome all obstacles. As you all know, in the middle of that battle, I told you that I was giving up. I told you that I was quitting. I told you that I was out of here. I blurted it out. At that time, we couldn't get in and we couldn't get out. We were locked like an island, water all around. We couldn't get in. We couldn't get out. We had all these people's money from 62 cities. You know, black folks is funny about their money. They go give you money.
No.
Black folks don't want to pay you. Don't want to pay you when you give. They want you to say, "Look, could you let me have some have a bean pie over time? You know, I take care of you." You know, they don't even want to pay you when you have a product in your hand. Much less pay you in advance. Come on now. So these people had paid for the product in advance, and here I am stuck on an island. I can't get in. Trucks can't get in. I can't get out. So I gave up. But then after that, you know, as I calmed down, and I said, wait a minute, I'm going to get these people this product. If I have to walk and carry one box at a time to get this out of here, then that's what I'm going to do, because I'm not going to sit here and cry like a baby. Allah blessed us. We had two backhoes. Both of them were down. So we first said, look, let's make one backhoe out of the two. So we made one backhoe out of the two, and then we looked around to find some hope, and we found that was through the woods. We saw a path, possible path. And these trees were not so big that we couldn't knock them down with a backhoe. So we used our backhoe and we cut through the woods to get around the sinkholes. These are sinkholes, water coming up from underneath the ground, not from rain on top, but coming from underneath the bottom. And so we went around, we cut through the woods, and all praise is due to Allah, we were able to put our pallets on a trailer with a tractor and pull it through the woods around the wet spots, and then another 3 miles on the mud road till we get to a paved road, and then we took our truck, you know, our car, it's an SUV, and we pulled 8 boxes, pallets at a time, into the terminal to get them shipped out. So all praise is due to Allah. We fulfill our promise.
Praise is due to Allah.
So many people, the excuse that we have is that, man, I don't want to go out in and start all over. We can do but die out there. I mean, we don't know what we're doing. Y'all don't know what y'all doing. I don't trust no niggas. Man, nigga, you can't trust no niggas, man. They ain't going to come through. They always mess up. I just can't. You know, that's just what is on our minds. So, you know, Allah blessed us through the fire, which is really a storm Michael was something else, Hurricane Michael. And it blessed he blessed us to survive and come through, to show an example. We need not fear. Allah is with us. If we would just think and work hard, no matter what are the circumstances, He will figure out a way for us if we would just work hard and follow the example of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who over and over again accomplishes the impossible.
That's right.
out of his mouth in 1994. He said that I want to go to Washington, D.C., and I want 1 million black men to come with me. And he said, as he said that, he saw the words going forth from his mouth, and he said he couldn't pull it back. So now he had to figure out how to make it happen. So he went all around the country, and these men's only, drumming up these men, drumming up Lazarus to come from the grave, to throw off his dead clothes, his dead wrap, and come to D.C. And lo and behold, October 16, 1995, almost 2 million black men showed up. So 1 million came. I said this little joke. 1 million came just to see who was going to be there. So 1 million came to see who was going to see the other million and wind up with 2 million. Oh, praise due to Allah. So, but he's done this over and over again. So, you know, what am I doing crying out here? No, I just died, but stop crying and get up and do the work. And so Allah blessed us. So now he has removed the excuse. When you sign the letter, that's already the separation in the mind. Now we need to make something happen. Well, he said, well, what is going to be the 8 states? What are going to be the 8 states? He can't get ahead of the minister. Well, I can use a little bit of logic. Okay? Georgia is the birthplace of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Okay? This farm here in Georgia, he bought it 4,200 acres here and another 200 acres here for the chicken farm. So I can feel pretty sure that more than likely Georgia's going to be one. Then, of course, the minister keeps talking about Mississippi, Alabama. You know, these are the states that we built with our sweat and our blood. These are ours. All we have to do is claim it. So we intend to claim this for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
That's right.
The gift to him. Instead of expecting him to do it, we should claim it. We should come down here and just take it over by our presence. Those of you who are living in those cities and those and you're catching hell, sell that property to them Chinese. They want that property. Sell that property to the Chinese and take that money and come on down to Terrell County and get forward 3, 4, 5 times the money's worth. Stop it in Atlanta. You know what I mean? You're going to stop it in Atlanta. Keep on past Atlanta. Come on down here. All right? Let's go ahead on and start piece by piece taking over these southern states and giving them to Minister Farrakhan instead of expecting him to get it for us. There's many, many things I could say about Savior's Day and about that Sunday broadcast. But all I got to say is this. There was a brother who yelled out when, as Minister Farrakhan was going towards revealing to us who all of us knew he was. His brother, you know, he shouted out, I've been waiting 30 years for you to say that. You know? But the minister is honest in saying that he was creeping up on it. You know, we saw it, you know, but he was creeping up on it. He's just so humble. And he ain't faking it. You know, I'm on the research team. I see him a lot up close and personal, and that's a blessing to do that. All praise is due to Allah. But he loves us, and he is that humble. He is that humble. It's amazing. It just blows my mind. This man is humble. Okay? So, but I knew it. Now, I'm going to get off the mic. I knew it when Kabila Shabazz, one of the daughters of Malcolm, when she was caught in a trap, an entrapment of the FBI agent, and trapped her into asking for, or he asked her and she accepted for him to kill Minister Farrakhan, because she believed that Minister Farrakhan had something to do with the death of her father. So, and if I had found out about an enemy of mine got caught trying to kill me, I would say, oh, praise is due to Allah. See how Allah protects me from my enemies? But no, Mr. Farrakhan reached out to protect her.
That's right.
I said, oh my God, what the hell is that? I said, what? Are you kidding me? You can't do that. That's not human. Only if Jesus was here, he could have done no better than that. And that convinced me that he was Jesus when he did that. Because that ain't human, y'all. That ain't natural. That is not natural for you to go and protect somebody who is caught trying to get somebody to kill you. Come on now. Y'all know that ain't right. You know that ain't human. You know none of us would have done what Mr. Farrakhan did. Not one would even thought about doing it. Okay? So, yeah, we are blessed to have the Jesus of the Bible. The 75% of the Mr. Farrakhan said was prophecy, and only 25% of the Bible was history. Now you're looking at the 75% walking right in front of your face. A beautiful human being, okay? A new creature. This is his words. A new creature in Christ. Because I was trying to find accolades for him, and I have my different accolades. He said, well, Dr. Richley, I prefer this. A new creature in Christ. So all praise to Allah. Maybe we can learn from that creature, new creature, and become one of those new creatures in Christ and become indeed the body Christ in a land of our own. Right here in the hills of North America, in the South.
That's right.
Where we were brought to build for them. So now let us go back and take over our promised land and build Wakanda. Build a heaven on earth. Show the world what justice
yes,
looks
sir.
Like. What is justice and equality and what decency and technology and productivity looks like. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, alaykum salam. We have a caller. Caller with the last four digits, 2372. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Sinai, and I'm calling from Georgia.
Well, alaikum salam, ma'am.
Thank you. I want to say Happy Savior's Day to everybody. And
happy
I want to say
happy
that
Savior's Day.
Everything that I heard, and I'm here. And I came here to join in.
Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I come from Texas. And I'm here.
Praise
be
to Allah.
Right now. What city?
Right now I'm in Albany. Been here almost 3 weeks.
Oh, praise be to Allah. Have you come out to the mosque yet?
No, sir. Not yet.
Okay. Do you know the address?
Right now, I'm not mobile at the time.
Okay.
So when it's provided for me, then I'm sure I'll be there.
Have you talked to anybody? Well, we got to get
yes.
your brother Carlton. Get a number. Get a number, brother Carlton.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
We'll be in contact with your sister.
Okay, and I just want to just go ahead and leave the phone. I just wanted to just say I've been listening for a while, for months. Almost a year. So, all praises due to Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
I'm still here, Brother Carl.
Okay, so I see your number, sister, on here. So I will contact mm-hmm. you later on. Is
okay,
that okay?
Thank you. Mm-hmm, that's fine.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, then. That's a
praise
hell of a testimony for
yes, sir.
Time to leave. She left.
She left. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise
she didn't talk about it. She didn't talk about it. She's like, she been listening, ain't saying nothing, but she just packed up and moved. Oh, well.
Yes, sir. Well, hey, you know,
praise
we got a lot of people that listen and talk, and we got some that listen and a lot willing to listen and act.
Wow. Yeah, we got to go talk to the sister and see what we can do for her. It sounds like she has some type of health issues, so
we'll have to take the sister out.
Well, I think she was really over, kind of like she was overcome with emotion, you know, that, you know,
right.
At this time, this Savior's Day time, hearing the minister's message and, you know, going on and stepping up and making that move, you know, and most, you know,
yeah.
Dr. Ridge, we talk to, we try to reach out to as many people as possible, but the reality is it's a special kind of brother and sister who's willing to be one of the first, to be at the forefront, you know, to come before everybody else, you know, before someone explicitly points out that you have to do something this way at this time. You know, it's a special type of brother and sister to say, you know, I heard minister say separation to death, and I heard the minister say, you know, we have to start to build our own communities. And so for us to have anybody make us do that and to take the initiative and change your life and do that, that's a special type of brother and sister, and not everybody's going to do that.
Exactly.
That's right. That's called
exactly.
A pioneer. That's a real pioneer. Crazy.
That's a pioneer. And we have another caller. Oh, go ahead. Someone wanted to make a comment?
No, just take the caller.
Okay. Caller with the last four digits, 1964. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum, it's Sister Camellia from Louisville.
Walaikum salam.
Walaikum salam.
Yeah. Just wanted to say how much we thoroughly enjoyed Savior's Day this year, from the session on defending Farrakhan and to the Minister of Agriculture's workshop was very informative. I really enjoyed that. And then the Sister Ava's, the separation of town hall meeting, I just really enjoyed all the information, and it was so thought-provoking, all of them. And I agree with you all said as far as separation in the mind. I was talking with a sister in line. The separation, as you said, has already taken place when we signed our letter. And we were truly separated because the first two or three years we joined, we were just like separated, isolated from all of our family members. And then when we started going around them, that we still felt separated because we didn't think the way they thought or did some of the things that they did. When we'd sit in a room, it seemed like everybody else would leave, and we'd be sitting there by ourselves. So the separation in the mind has already taken place. And then one other thing, I just wanted to share a little experience. My granddaughter was able to go. My daughter took her, and they went to the drill competition, and somehow she got separated from her mother. And so she was frantic for a while. She's just 2.5 years old, almost 3. But lo and behold,
wow.
They found her, and they brought her up on the stage. So I was just thinking and reflecting that, what other place for her to be separated than amongst believers? After she didn't tell me that until to yesterday. I saw her Saturday and Sunday. She didn't mention. Then when she came over here, she said, I want to tell you something, what happened. So then I got to thinking, well, what a better place. And I think she said Minister Farrakhan might have been in the room. So to me, we don't have to worry about anything because we will be protected. The fact that he was in the room or if he wasn't in the room, but all those believers at the drill competition, and they found – little two-year-old and brought up on the stage, and she was reunited with her mother. So to me, that's a form of separation, that we will be divinely protected, whatever, in most circumstances. And that was just something I wanted to reflect on after that happened. I just started thinking about that today. I said, see, things will be all right if we just stay together, unified on one accord, and be amongst believers, even among the world today. But if all of believers get together, that one mind and one thought and positive energy can get us through. So thank you, and it's just a wonderful Savior's Day. I'm ready, like Sister Ann, to think of a way that I can be about doing the work and what I'm supposed to do to be a good example. So assalamu alaikum, and we'll talk later.
Wow.
Alaikum salam.
Wow.
And you know,
great.
there's another lesson in that, too. I was thinking as Sister Camellia was talking about the little two-year-old. Well, what we need to do in our cities from now on, every city need to have a supply of name tags that they can put the name and parent's name, child's name and parent's name on these little bracelets that they can wear all during Savior's Day.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Yes.
Right.
It's good.
Because she knows her name, but she was crying, and she was panicking too. But that is a good idea. So
right. Yeah, so maybe that needs to originate from headquarters. I don't know. I guess, we can write Sister Sandy and make that suggestion to her. Because sisters can be in charge through their classes of making sure that they do that for anyone going from their city to make sure that children have the bracelets on.
Yeah, especially in large towns.
And like I said, started right from the city. Don't wait to try to wait to get a bracelet when they come all the way up to Chicago, up to Detroit. It's gonna be Detroit this year coming up, St. Louis Day.
Right.
But have them put them on when they first, leaving, going to Savior's Day, so that if they get missing, that somebody will know who is the parent of that child. So that's a great idea. That's great. Let's make that happen.
The child's name and the parent's name and phone number.
Right. That's right. The parent's cell phone number. And you need to have the house phone number now. Don't put the house phone.
Exactly.
You ain't home now. It's the cell phone number. put the house number. Everybody up there in Detroit, in Chicago somewhere, they can call that. No, the cell phone number of the parent who's going to be with the child. You got to put all this stuff out in writing, because we mess something up now. Praise people. Well, that's great.
Right.
Okay.
Well, thank
you,
for your call, sister.
Yes,
yeah, Sister Sharon. Sister Sharon, you still there? Did you want to make a comment now, Sister Sharon?
Yes, sir. Greetings, family, once again. I was not able to travel to Savior's Day. However, I am certainly in the Savior's Day spirit, and I greet all of my family with Happy Savior's Day 2019. And I just want to say what this home has done for me. It seems like every day I am recognizing the blessings of being in the nation, because it has enriched me, my life. I can see the extension of this great nation to my grandchildren and beyond. Islam, I'm certainly am striving to live a different life, the life that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad had given us from Master Farad Muhammad, the God that appeared to us. So I am so elated. But what I also wanted to do today for our Blog Talk Radio family is to introduce my husband, a wonderful FOI. And we did celebrate Savior's Day right here in the comfort of our home. So that was a unique experience. If you don't mind, I'm going to pass the mic to Brother Brian Muhammad.
Well,
Happy Savior's Day to all the believers, Dr. Ridley and the team. The minister was so beautiful. In my 30 years of being in the nation, Allah has blessed me to attend just about all of them. So at this time, to have to make that sacrifice for good cause, of course. As my wife said, we were able to really enjoy the weekend with each other and tune in to on social network of what was going on, Sister Ava live, and then get the minister via modern technology. And I told her she had the best seat in the house, because the cameraman gave all the Zoom shots of the stage, and we were able to see the man of God and all the audience shots and whatnot. We couldn't have had a better seat if we were being sitting right there, unless we were on stage like you, Dr. Ridley, and but I want
no,
to say that
your seat was better than mine, brother.
Oh man, we had a lot of blessed us because he knew our hearts were there, our spirits were there, and we thank Allah. I tell you one thing: what Islam mostly has done for me is that give me the privilege to come into the awareness of God Himself.
Mm, come on.
His Christ and the Jesus, the Messiah of today. I had no idea when I was a student on Xavier University's campus, wanted to know who God was, that I would become a Muslim. I was a Catholic in the seminary, and via cassette tape, it changed my whole life. And 30 years later, my sister and I, two oldest in my family, joined the nation. Of course, I've labored several of those years, about half of that time. And Dr. Ridley mentioned the Million Man March. We've been keeping the LOCs around the Southwest region and nation from its inception, protecting it and guiding it the way the minister wanted. For at least 23 years now, and et cetera, et cetera. But I thank Allah that what Islam mostly done for me has brought me into the reality of God, Jesus the Christ, this Christ, and the Messiah. And now to see the drama, the 75% play out with these Jews and the way that we the seasoned FOI, that doesn't mean that we know so much, or that, as Sister Ava say, we've arrived. But we know enough to be enlightened and be like soldiers, to be all over the so-called Jews and Zionist backside, and using this great opportunity that Allah has blessed us with, because as they came after him, it was a trap by Allah to really expose them for who they are. And with social media, it's a gift from God because we relentless. And Dr. Ridden, I want to thank you. Be encouraged because in addition to running the farm, which is one of the, I think, third hardest things in the nation to do, you are teaching the believers and an encouragement to the believers. And you're real, and I like that. And your tweets be very timely. So may Allah bless you all. I've been tuning in, and tonight, in spite of having the hard task, we're transitioning to a new home and whatnot. In the midst of moving boxes and sofas and tables, my wife said, "Could you please come on?" And come on. I said, "Okay, baby." But may Allah bless you all. I'm looking forward to being with you all in the future. Of course, we are supportive of everything that the Time to Leave is doing, and we're looking at making a practical, reasonable decision as to whether or not we're going to move to Georgia or whether or not we're going to make our neighborhood decent and a better place in Texas or wherever Allah leads us. So may Allah bless you all. It's been a pleasure. I'm humbled, and happy Savior's Day.
Yeah, and happy Savior's Day to you, brother.
Happy
and
Savior's Day.
But the reason I said that you have a better position is that I really don't like being on stage because I can only see the back of Minister Farrakhan's head unless he turns around or I let him look up at the monitor. Whereas when I'm out front, in front of him, I can look up into the face of the sun and just enjoy myself, get my full money's worth and some by looking at him in the face. That man is a beautiful black man.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, y'all. Anybody else?
And we are out of time. We have no time left. Is any closing statement or you want to make that the closing statement?
Well, I've got to say this really, really quick. We had a dinner with members of the Ministry of Agriculture on that Thursday, and it was beautiful. And they presented Dr. Ridgely and I with a basket of items, and it was really beautiful.
Praise
yeah,
be
it
to
was
Allah.
It was Friday night, and it was beautiful. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank all the listeners for calling in for this show, and we look forward to having you all next week, same place, same number, same time. Thank you very much, and until then, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Tennessee. Lord, I've really been real stressed. Down and out, losing ground. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Brothers and sisters be messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go. To let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel. Not just my fifth tire. Then out of nowhere, you tell me to break out of the country and into more country. Fast eyes burst into Ripley, where the ghost of childhood haunts me. Walk the road my forefathers walk, climb the trees my forefathers hung from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came. My family tree, my family name. For some strange reason, it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
Down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peace Street. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. Again.